Hello, cyclocross friends, and welcome to episode 168 of Cyclocross Radio. On today's show, something a little bit different. We're going to chat with Keith Garrison. He races for King Cog up in New York and also puts on a super cool race in Rainy Park in Queens that just happened this past weekend. And what he has experienced goes right along with what we are all experiencing in cyclocross with the changing landscape, with all of the World Cups and what we're going to do with UCI races and everything else. And he's just got this fun story that happened around all of that that he's going to share with us, as well as tell us about this cool event that they put on in Rainy Park. So we're going to get right to that. I want to tell you about Works Hydro Shot. They are sponsoring this week's episode. This is something that down in North Carolina at the GP, I know there are people out there using it, and a good thing too, because it was wet, it was muddy, and this was a really easy way to clean off your bike during races, after races. The Works Hydro Shot, it's the ultimate tool, and it's practically made for cycling enthusiasts like you and like me. Portable power cleaner, uses the Works 20-volt power share batteries, pulls from any fresh water source, so just throw the hose in there and you are ready to go. You got just enough PSI, 320 PSI, to clean off the bike, but not to ruin your bearings or do all those bad things that overpowered power washers can do. The other cool thing is the batteries just swap out to any other Works tools. So holidays are coming up. This is a great gift. We're going to make it even easier for you to get this, either for yourself or your cyclocross loved one. 15% off all Hydro Shots and accessories if you go to yourcleanbike.com and enter the promo code CLEANBIKE. There's a link to that in the show notes, as well as the Clean Bike promo code, so you don't forget it and you get 15% off of that Works Hydro Shot. Lots of cool stuff going on at the Wide Angle Podium Network. Go check it out. Catch up on all of your favorite shows. Bike Shop CX, those guys have been working overtime to get shows out. They got the review shows they're doing. I think the second one of that's up now. And just David and Scott in there talking about everything that goes on in putting together and taking apart a cyclocross bike. Fun stuff. Love those guys. Very entertaining. Also, check out the Gravel Lot. Mike Sinyard. Awesome show that they just have up as well. They have some really cool guests. It's one, if it's not already in your queue, it should be. As well as the Slow Ride. Of course, they're just going on as they go on. Consummate Athlete. USA Communique. That's a new show that I am producing with Lindsay Goldman, who is the membership director at USA Cycling. And she has put herself out there to answer all of your questions. So you got a problem with USA Cycling, or you got something, need something clarified, or you just want to learn more about what they're doing, she's going to answer all these questions. If she doesn't know them, she goes and finds out, and she's entertaining too. So check out USA Communique. And finally, Grodio, the gravel podcast that Zach Schuster and Amanda Nauman and myself put out there. We just have our latest episode that is available, and we're also talking about the national gravel calendar that we're going to create, and we want you to help us. So get all that, wideanglepodium.com. Okay, let's do this. Keith Garrison, Rainy Park, episode 168 of Cyclocross Radio, and we're doing that right now. Keith, how are you doing?
I'm good, man. How's it going, Bill?
It's going really well. So I was looking at all of the photos from your race and Rainy Park. Is that right?
Yep. Rainy Park Cyclocross.
Which looks amazing. And I heard nothing but just glowing reports about it. Give me like a rundown about like how long has that race been going on and your involvement and just how it went this past weekend.
So this past weekend was our fourth year holding it. Traditionally it's always been in December. Our date has kind of fluctuated around based on availability of dates and like the overall calendar, and also the red tape of trying to get a park permit in New York City. And just kind of how long and unresponsive the parks department can be in dealing with them. So the very first year that we held it, me and another friend of mine, Austin Horst, He sort of leveraged a bunch of park connections that he had with this woman, Karen, who runs this other program called Recycle a Bicycle. And kind of like, there's a lot of like, so-and-so, no so-and-so, no so-and-so, who works at this small little park. And I was like, where the hell is Rainy Park? And he's like, oh, it's great. People only go there to like let their dogs off leash and barbecue. And I was like, okay, cool. Sounds perfect. So like, we went there, we set up a meeting and a walkthrough with them. And this is the year that Nationals were in Hartford.
Yeah.
In January still. So the only like available date left in the calendar, this is probably like the end of September, early October, by the time like we have this meeting set up. But the only available date that we saw that wasn't really like a conflict with either a local race or a big UCI weekend that would have kind of a lot of draw, like as far as like MBX or like another like late season UCI race that would pull people out of New York for it, was New Year's Eve. So we're like, all right, let's file the permit for December 31st and it'll be like end of the season or like a last minute primer for people that are going to Nationals. And then we filed the permit in like September, October, whatever, whenever the first meeting was. And then we didn't hear back for months, kind of tried to like reach out and just radio silence. And then I went away for work for a week and a half down to Florida, just like building this crazy job out. And then I got back, and then the day that I got back was 2 weeks. It was like December 15th. And then the permit landed in my inbox for the 31st, two weeks out. Like, I was like, and I had just gotten back off of like a monster job.
Yeah.
And I was like, no way can we do this. Like 2 weeks is not enough time to pull a permit through or like to put a race together. And he's like, we have a permit to do a cyclocross race of some sort in a New York City park. He's like, you don't know, like, we have to do something. Even if it's just like a bunch of cones around and like we do it alley cat style. Like,
for
just,
sure. Like, right. You did it. Like that's the win we for gotta, having it in the city.
We got to do something. And I was like, all right, cool. Like, we'll figure it out. And luckily, he had some contacts at Cliff Bar who were like, listen, you guys aren't going to go broke doing this. Like, whatever it takes, let's figure it out. Like, this is kind of a big deal. So we announced it. We were going to do it unsanctioned. As soon as we announced it, all of these people were like, whoa, this is crazy. What are you doing? And then Miles Romanow, who promotes Supercross, called me up and he was like, who do you know? Where the F is Rainy Park?
This sounds just like Miles.
Pretty much, yeah. He's like, do you have any idea what you're doing? And I was like, not really, to be honest. And I am all ears. So he basically, like, he made calls to USAC and got them to like, waive the late, like permit application fees and linked us up with Tom Maines, who does all the scoring. I think he does the scoring for DCCX as well.
Yeah, for sure.
And, so I guess Tom and Miles have a situation worked out with like the storage of the stakes and the equipment, where like some of them are owned by Miles, some of them are owned by the NJBA, and kind of like, he's like, if you hire Tom, he might allow you to use all of our equipment and like, he might help get them out of there when you're done. So it all kind of, it came together like incredibly in 2 weeks time. We had a USAC permitted event on a holiday weekend and it went off without a hitch really. And then that was year one, and each year from then, it's kind of been the same story with like getting permits a couple weeks out and kind of trying to figure out whatever we can do and sort of just hedging our bets on like, all right, yeah, this is happening. We're going to announce a date and we're going to open it and just sort of hope all of the cards fall into place. And that's exactly what happened this year. I got my permit 3 weeks beforehand. And I opened registration before I had the parks permit. And then I waited to file the USAC permit until after I got the parks permit. So I was like, I don't want to like put the cart before the horse sort of deal.
Yeah.
And, but I guess I got to like also just start locking in people before they go sign up for another race that weekend and like start making other plans. So I was like, all right, like, let's do it this weekend.
You have me like anxious just hearing that just from like what we do planning for DCCX. I don't know if we would survive that kind of a just in time timeline.
Yeah, luckily I work in like event production, and most of my job is like I work for a wood shop that builds shoots for, we build sets for photo shoots and fashion shows.
Okay.
And like corporate events and parties and stuff like that. So everything that comes across my desk is like, oh, I need this tomorrow.
Okay. So you're used to it. It's just business as usual.
So I do my best work under crippling pressure and anxiety. So that's kind of what I've been known to thrive that way.
Awesome. Tell me a little bit about this venue. So it's in Queens.
So it's in Queens. It's on the water on the East River, kind of like right next to Roosevelt Island, the island that's like between Manhattan and Queens. I guess it's Western Astoria, I guess. It is very, very small. I don't even know what the actual acreage of it is, but I'd say it's less than like, I don't even know, because I don't have a front yard, so I don't know what an acre actually looks like. But it's like the size of the infield at most races, like where the area where like all of the food trucks and like people kind of gather.
Yeah.
It's basically the size of that.
Okay.
The top of the park is fairly like flat and level with like a little bit of like, there's trees that line the park and there's some weird undulations and stuff like that. And then it kind of like, there's like a bluff that drops off down to the promenade on the water. So we kind of like, we start up top and let the field get thinned out and then string it out around the park. There's like a paved roadway in the middle that we use for a start finish stretch, or for a finish stretch rather. And then there's a bunch of like cool off camber terrain that we try to make the most of and just send people up, down, across, back and forth. And there's a probably like 20 set stair set that we use, which I'm sure you saw.
Yes.
Some of the content of Colin and
Sammy
Keith ride it. That's just one thing that I've sort of always wanted to do with this race is take like the little bits of things that I like from all of the races that I've seen and just try to put them all together. Cause it's like, there's all these little things where I go to a race and be like, oh, that's kind of cool. I like that. And like, I have like a folder of photos of just like a mood board of basically inspiration from like stuff that I've seen at races. Like I remember the first time I went to DCCX, the results board that you guys have, I was like, that is so cool.
Oh,
so
nice.
I was like, all right, I'm going to make a central place to like post all the results and have it not just be like printed pieces of paper taped to a side of a van that like you have to figure out like, oh, which one is this? Like have it look presentable and nice and kind of like it's the little things that like make people stoked on the race and kind of like the production value of it. So I've always tried to like take little things and make like cool little details of the race better and sort of invest back into the race to make it look better, make people have a better experience and kind of like just keep the ball rolling and keep the event sort of growing organically like that.
That's awesome. It sounds like with all the different features you're throwing in there and sort of the size of it, it's almost what you see that a lot of these Belgian races do where they almost look like they're in somebody's backyard. Like the actual, you know, acreage or whatever is not very big, but it's just kind of using every inch, which I think sort of, I mean, exactly what you're saying makes you a little more creative and gets you to put together kind of a cool track. How many people were out there racing this year?
This year we had just over 300 registered racers. I think the final tally of how many people were registered was like how many people actually like showed up and raced was about 253 or something like that.
And then you have
so
something.
Not,
yeah. I was going to say,
not
I think,
huge, but it's sort of grown each year a little bit.
Nice. And you all have something that I think is similar to what we experience in that, even though I guess just from where we are for DCCX, we have that nice big parking lot, which makes it easy for folks like you, which we love having travel to our race. But also we have a lot of people who just kind of hop on their bike and are able to ride to the race since we're in the city. And it sounds like that's kind of similar vibe to what you guys have going on.
Yeah. I definitely try to encourage people to do that. We even had, there was one family, there's this team out of Northern New Jersey called the NJCX Project that has a lot of like junior development riders on it.
Sure. And, yeah. I know them well.
A bunch of them, they parked in Fort Lee in New Jersey and rode into the city from over the bridge. And like, it's probably like a 12-mile ride or so.
That's awesome.
So like, and they were like, they were stoked on it. He's like, yeah, couldn't have worked any better.
Yeah. I mean, so, and what a great day. You get to go for that cool ride and then race in the middle and then you know, hopefully, your bike's still in one piece and you can ride back to the car.
I never actually really thought about that. Like, oh yeah, we gotta like bail her off or something like that. we got public transit.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, especially with like all of the folks that live in the city, I think a lot of them are just like, they show up with like their race wheel strapped to their messenger bag and like, they're like, yeah, I rode here. This is so sick. I rolled out of bed, ate breakfast, and like, I've only been awake for 40 minutes and I'm at my race and it's awesome.
Yeah, that's perfect. So the reason, other than to learn more about your, what sounds like an awesome event and one I want to get to, is that I had more than one person who were like, hey, you got to give Keith a call just with all of this stuff that's going on globally with cyclocross. He's got this story to tell. And we didn't really talk about it before we started recording. So I want to hear this fresh as well. So what's going on?
Cool. so it's more funny than anything. Mostly just because of the size, like, especially if you know the size of my venue and the size of the race and kind of the sort of, the scale of which, like, we, as like the whole New York City cyclocross community operate in, it's like very kind of like fly by the seat of our pants. And like, even the weekly practices that we do are like, we're always fearful that like, we're going to piss off some park user and get shut down or whatever. So back in like the late summer, probably middle of August or something like that, I got a Facebook message early in the morning from a guy with a super Belgian sounding name, or like they read it as a very Belgian name. It was a lot of A's and E's and kind of a couple of hard consonants. Guy named Chris Maynards, and I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right. And it was like, hey, I'd love to hop on a call later with you if you have a chance. I'm like, who the hell is this? So I look him up on Twitter, or I just Google him, I find his Twitter, and it's like, oh, he's followed by Sven and Matthew and Bout and Helen Wyman. And I start digging a little more. I'm like, okay, he promoted Copenberg Cross, I think, and maybe founded Brico Cross, and now it looks like he's a part of Flanders Classics. And then, so I'm like, all right, this guy seems like he's kind of maybe a bit of a big deal. Like, let's see what he's got to say. So we get on a call, and he's telling me basically what we all know now about Flanders Classic purchasing the rights to the World Cup for the next couple of years. And he's saying how basically they want to internationalize it more. They want to add a bunch of more races, which in hindsight, I was kind of like, I didn't really think about it. I was like, oh yeah, cool. That sounds great. Cause I've always heard like the goal for like cyclocross has been to like, oh yeah, let's make it a bigger thing and then sell the whole package deal off to Red Bull and let them do what they've done with the World Cup mountain bike and just make it this awesome thing. So it's like, okay, yeah, making more races makes it kind of more accessible in a way, rather than just like there's one and then 4 weeks go by and it's like, oh yeah, there's another one, whatever. But now in hindsight, it's like, maybe it's not that great of an idea. But so he was saying that he wants to, in the internationalization of it more, bring more races to the US and make them closer to Europe, ideally East Coast, ideally New York City being the biggest city on the East Coast. He's like, New York would be a dream. He's like, so I looked up New York City cyclocross and I see your name and Rainy Park cyclocross. And I was wondering like what you think about maybe having a World Cup in New York City. And I was kind of like, all right, let's back up a minute. You see, the thing about me and my race is I don't have a parking lot or running water for a pressure washer in the pit. Cause typically we would do it in December and all of the water would be turned off to the park. So, and it was always done in 2 weeks. I'm like, I don't have time to get a water truck in here and figure that out. So it's like, if you need to wash your bike, go to the car wash down the street after the race, but there's nothing during the race. So it was kind of like, I was like, I kind of explained to him a little bit more about like kind of how things work here and like how everything is very participant driven. And I was like, dude, there's like, I get 250, 300 people to sign up for my race. It's not like, it's not a huge thing. And I just had to be like, like, this sounds awesome, but maybe I don't know if I am the right person. I was like, I think that there is enough money in New York City in cycling in New York City, especially, but also like in New York City in general, where you could do whatever you want to if you have enough of a financial backing. Cause, I mean, the New York City Marathon costs however $1 million it does for police support and whatever, but you throw enough money around New York City, you can walk in and do whatever the hell you want. So who knows, maybe if someone has a $250,000 or $500,000 and wants to shut down Central Park today and destroy it, they would probably let you.
So, but just to recap here, Keith, Belgium came to you to see if you wanted to have a World Cup race at Rainy Park.
Mostly because there is a nickname that I have somehow received, mostly since Dan Chabanov moved away from New York City, that it used to be that I was the keeper of the cones, which is the person who's responsible for schlepping all of the cones to cross practice every week, and whose back pain suffers at the 40-minute mark of a UCI race because of it. But now there was an article on the To Be Determined website where I was dubbed the godfather of New York City cyclocross. So nice. I think someone from another country reads that and is like, oh, okay, this guy's the real deal. And I was like, maybe not.
I love it. I love everything about this. I know if I were on the phone with, I would have had the same, like, here's the real deal, here's what you want to know. But oh man, just to kind of string this along for a little bit longer would have just been so surreal.
And yeah.
Wow.
So I mean, me and Chris talked for probably like 45 minutes to an hour or so, and
oh sweet,
we were both like, he was kind of like, well, like, what about other races on the East Coast? Like, do you think that any of them would be like willing or like kind of at the scale of being able to be a World Cup? And I was like, well, DC is probably one of the best races on the East Coast that, like, fun wise, but also I don't know if any of them have, like, Gloucester at that point was still like potentially going to happen when we had this conversation. I was like all of the New England races in DC are the biggest ones on the East Coast and sort of the only ones on the East Coast for the most part, but I don't think any of them have $250,000 in whatever money it takes to like put on an actual World Cup.
Yeah, no, that's the part of it. They're like coming to you with this great honor and they're like, oh, by the way, here's what it's going to cost for you to do this.
You have to be the financial backing. And I was like, we kind of like touched on the subject of potentially like, he's like, well, he's like, we could potentially like put up some money for it, but it's like, the amount of money that it would require to do an event like that. I mean, the payout alone is what, 80,000 euros next year?
Oh yeah, it's huge. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
we're like, we don't want to be a C1 because it's too expensive, much less.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Oh, that is fantastic. That is just, I don't know. Just after what we've all been sort of living through with what's going to happen with the World Cups and how it's going to go, and that, you know, we did hear these little kind of rumors that they did want to be more involved in the U.S., but then at the same time, I think all of us are kind of fearful that we may not have any World Cups in the U.S., if not, you know, maybe next year. But then after that, if this thing keeps kind of materializing, we don't know what's going to happen. But I love it. I know you're on vacation now, so thank you for taking the time out from that to share this, because it just tickles me hearing stories like this.
Yeah,
I love it.
Yeah, it's funny. It's like it would be insanely cool, like, but it's kind of, unless there's a ton of money behind it, and I think that I don't know what the deal with TV rights are within like the sponsor packet of whatever they're sending out now, because obviously Telenet like had all the TV rights before, and NBC Sports had kind of bought it from them for the last few years. But like, I think unless like you were able to like to lock in the TV rights, I don't think that there would be any way to make any money off of it, really.
Yeah, because I mean, that's the thing, you're not getting like 30,000 people into what you've described as a postage stamp size park to watch this thing. Yeah. Oh man,
I think with enough money, you could find a venue within New York City, essentially like Randall's Island or something like that could work, because they have gigantic concerts there, and we do our weekly cross practice there, and there's a couple other areas of the island that would be cool to do it. So if anybody's listening and has a lot of disposable income that you don't want anymore, then
or they could just, you know, invest in US cyclocross and we could have a pretty cool series. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah. But yeah, it's kind of like, on one hand it would be cool, but on the other hand it kind of also just shows you how even more out of touch the UCI and all of the planning that's going into it is. So it's pretty interesting and kind of funny.
Yeah, no, exactly. I think that's right. I think that's kind of part of it. It's the whole just not understanding on either side how the other side operates. Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. So so you all are planning to do the race regardless, even if it isn't a World Cup next year, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And do you think shooting for that same sort of earlier November date or still TBD?
I would like to probably try to keep it in the earlier part of mid-November again. I got to see what, basically the way that I've picked my date every year for the last 3 years has been to, also because I use the New Jersey, trailer full of steaks and stuff like that, has always been to kind of let everybody else fill in their dates. And then I'm like, okay, this weekend looks like it's open. I'm going to take that weekend.
That's amazing. That's a great way to do it. Yeah.
Rather than just going up against MBX or one of the other big races late in December and I don't want to go against and kind of pull people away from a local race because that's not a great thing to do. There winds up being, it happens in Massachusetts, it happens here. I don't know what it's like down there, but none of the promoters from the NJBA or NEBRA or NISPRA or PACX or the MAX series talk to each other, it seems like. And it winds up being there's seven races on this one weekend that are all within a 2-hour drive of each other.
Yeah. I think that's kind of and it's kind of a bigger problem. It's almost we're cannibalizing ourselves for everybody. I don't know. You know, you talk about, we hear these things and even just talking with USA Cycling about how races are going away. And then it seems like in cyclocross that kind of happens and all these races on top of each other. And then you talk to people in other parts of the country and they're like, oh yeah, we drive 6 hours to our closest race. And we're like, holy cow, I got seven within 40 minutes of me. You know, it's like,
For New York, at least it's usually the 2-hour mark is kind of the bubble that I find a reasonable drive. And then we'll drive to Gloucester and DC and Charm City.
Yeah, for sure. Further.
But for the most part, there's a handful of small local races that are within maybe 70 minutes or so, a couple of the New Jersey series races. But for the most part, it's every weekend we're in the car driving 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours. When Supercross got added to the Vittoria series a couple of years ago, everybody, all of my friends from Boston were like, what the hell? It's so far. That's not, I was like, you shut your mouth. We drive up to you every weekend in the fall. It's so much time in the car. Come to us for once. Then some of them did, some of them don't. Because again, they still have seven races every weekend up there too.
Yeah, I know. I know Scott Page up in Rochester has similar feelings about New England not wanting to travel to his C1 race. But
yeah, I haven't really looked at the calendar next year to see kind of what the holiday schedule looks like and what the usual weekends that all of the big races take are. But I'd like to do it again in probably November because it worked out really well with the weather. 2 years ago, we had 6 inches of snow the night before the race. So we were setting up in the snow the night before.
Yeah.
And it was not fun. We totally, totally destroyed the park, but we got welcome back somehow.
Nice. Oh, that's good. That's good. Well, awesome. Well, I think people should, we're always looking for these fun kind of destination races. And if you can go up and maybe spend some time in New York City and do a cyclocross race, that'd be awesome. So folks should look at Rainy Park and also go check out Results Boys. I think it's on his Instagram feed, right? Where he's got that that sweet maneuver up the steps. He's Svened it.
Yep. Yeah. It's Tebow now. It's the Tebow
line. Right. It's the Tebow line. Exactly. The next one. Awesome. Okay. Thanks so much. I really appreciate you taking the time to chat. And this was awesome.
Cool. Thanks, Bill.